The reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 16. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Amen.
Special thanks to the guys on the back desk. I don't know whether you ever turn around and look at them, do you? Only when things go wrong. That's better. Yeah, that was my fault, not theirs. But thanks to the team at the back and all those who are involved in providing the sound, because that helps, doesn't it? You can't hear me, can you? Does it help at the back? Yes, of course it helps. Thank you so much anyway. And doing a fantastic job with all the sound and everything else that goes on today. Thanks to Claire for leading us as well and for drawing our attention towards the one we worship today, and that is our Heavenly Father who loves us. If you were here last week, you would have heard Tom speaking to us about the Bible. And if you weren't here, you missed a treat. And my thanks to Tom for all the hard work that he puts in and all his preparation. But it was great last week just to hear him share his heart about the Bible. And he was encouraging us to start reading the Bible. If we don't read it, to start reading it. Some of us use some Bible reading notes, which are really helpful. There's so much available online to help us read the Bible. If you've got do they call it a smartphone? Sometimes they're not very smart, do you think? I don't think they're very smart sometimes because they don't work. But you can download the Bible on the phone and look at it as whenever you like. And so keep digging into the Bible, won't you? And if you didn't hear Tom, do pick up on the podcast and do be challenged by him. But the Bible, it's really, it's been described as a love letter from God. From the first page to the last page, it's often described as a love letter from God. And I wonder this morning, what helps you feel loved? What helps you feel loved? I don't know if you've read any of this this research from a guy called Dr. Gary Chapman, who has written lots of books about the five love languages. And so he says, you know, that each of us has a sort of primary love language when we feel loved the most. And so he's got five different languages, and his suggestion is that one of those is the one that we function with the best. So words of affirmation. So you might hear, like, thanks for taking the rubbish out today. Yeah, and if that's how you're loved, then that does you the world of good, just to hear a word of affirmation. Rather than, why didn't you take the rubbish out today? Which isn't a word of affirmation, is it? It's a word of condemnation that some of you use, don't you? But words of affirmation, some of us, we feel loved when people say those things. Like, thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it, you know? Or maybe your top love language is receiving gifts. How many people like receiving gifts? Not many of you. Well, okay, but some of you do, and I hope some of you felt loved this morning as you got a chocolate given to you as you came in. Anybody feel loved by getting a chocolate today? Anybody not eating it yet? Oh, please feel free to eat it. Yeah, it's nothing to do with the sermon other than now, so please eat it. Some of you are very good waiting for instruction. So some of you, your love language is about receiving gifts. For others of you, you like things being done for you. So maybe, you know, when your child tidies their own bedroom, then that makes you feel loved because they've done something that for you, or they've run the Hoover over, or your husband's tidied the shed, or you know, anything like that. So when somebody does something for you, then you feel loved then. For some other people, it's quality time. You just like somebody switching off the telly and listening to you. And that's how you feel loved. Or maybe it's physical touch. So you love having hugs. We should all wear badges, really, shouldn't we, about do I want to be hugged or don't I want to be hugged? Because it gets very confusing, do you think? Or maybe for you a handshake's enough. Or maybe it's just enough to get just a touch on your shoulder. And you feel loved by that. So just have a chat to the person next to you. Which of those five things is the way that you feel loved the most? If you're sat next to your spouse, this will be really interesting. But if not, just tell the person next to you. How do you really feel loved? Which one of those five things is like your top love language? Okay, excellent. So now you know how the other person feels loved, then you know what you can do, don't you? Yeah, well, do something about it, and that makes all the difference. So love is one of those things that we all experience. We've been talking about love over the last few weeks since I've come, really. We've been talking about love. We've talked about loving God. We've talked about loving one another. We talked about loving others as well and sharing the good news of Jesus with people. And all of that is part of this experience of love. And it's been great to hear some of you have said to me, you know what, I had an opportunity over the last couple of weeks to talk to somebody about Jesus, which is fantastic, isn't it? That you took the courage to love that person enough to take that one more step to talk to them about Jesus. So again, if you've missed any of those, this series, The Greatest, then please do catch up on the podcast and maybe some of that might just help you. But we all feel loved. But the good news about God's love is it's all of those things all wrapped up in one. That God loves us because he loves us. And our reading today just had that very clear statement that God is love. That's who he is. It's not about doing anything. He is just love. And so when we feel and know the love of God, then he touches all those things in us. And we feel the warmth of his presence and of his power. And we just feel loved. Because all of us need to feel loved. Whatever age you are, whatever gender you are, whatever experiences you've had, whatever relationships you're in, we all need to feel and know that we're loved. And today I just want to talk about what I think is the greatest call from God. And that is simply that you are loved. That you're loved. And we get back to the heart of who God is, to know and feel and experience that love for ourselves. In our reading, Colin read to us, there's that one verse in verse 10 of 1 John 4. It says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is love. And Jesus came to show us what that love looked like. And he did that by dying on a cross. He did it because we needed to know that experience of love, to bridge that gap. And he did it. That was why Jesus came, and that's exactly what he did. He came to show us that we are loved. The challenge is, do you believe it? Do you feel it? Do you experience it? Do you live your life in the light of that foundational truth that you are loved? We live in a bit of a crazy world at the moment, don't you think? It's a bit of a crazy culture that we live in. I'm not sure it's just for our young people. I think it's for all of us as well. And often some of us, we're struggling with our identity. We're sort of not sure who we are, or maybe our security and some of those foundational things that we were so used to that we grew up with, they're being shaken all the time. Maybe we lack confidence in even being who we are in this world. If you're on social media, you'll know that when somebody doesn't like your post, you feel bad about that, don't you? If somebody that doesn't press the like button when you posted a picture on it, then it feels like, oh my goodness me, do they not like me anymore? I know for some of us that doesn't mean anything, but for some of our younger people, that means everything for them. That they can't have a security and identity because they're worried about what everybody else is thinking. We worry about what people think about what we're wearing, what we're saying, who we are, what we've been, the job we do. All sorts of things can crowd in to enable us to lose that confidence and that basic truth that we are loved by a God who sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. You know, I think this is the greatest call. And if you're secure in knowing God's love today, there are countless people in our world that you bump into who don't know anything about that love and who need to know that God loves them because he loves them, because he loves them. So what does that love look like? What does that love look like for us today? I think the first aspect of that love is that he meets you where you are. God's expression of love is that he meets you where you are. In other words, he rescues you. Wherever you are right now, he meets you in that place. For some of you, you've got a story of a time when you didn't know Jesus, when maybe your life was way away from what it is now in terms of the choices you made or how you lived or the priorities you had. And you'll know this truth, that he meets you where you are. He's not waiting for you to be anywhere else, but where you are. And he will meet you there because his motive is to rescue you. I've heard many people say, you know what, when I've talked to them about Jesus, they'll say, do you know what, when life's a little bit easier, then I'll think about Jesus. When I'm sorted out, you know, when I've got everything lined up and my life is just as it should be, then I'll think about Jesus. But the good news is that he meets you where you are before you've got your life sorted, before everything is nice and neat in some order. He meets you where you are because we all need rescuing from the place that we're in. See, God isn't running away from you. He's never going to run away from you. He runs towards you. He comes exactly where you are. It's interesting when there's a sort of tragedy or a crisis or a disaster that there are many people who run away from that disaster. But there are always some people who run towards it. Wherever there's a crisis, you see some people running towards where the problem is, and they become the rescuers of the people who are caught up in the crisis. There's an age-old question that says, you know, if your house was on fire, what would you go back to rescue? For some of you, it wouldn't be your kids, would it? Or your spouse. It would be something more... No, I'm sure it would. But there's that sense in us that pushes us away, but for some people they run towards where the problem is. And God is that type of God who will run towards where the issue is, where we are. He meets us exactly where we are. And this is good news, isn't it? This is good news that whether we're in a period of celebration in our life or whether we're in a place of sorrow, whether we're going through turmoil or whether we've just had an amazing triumph in our life, whether we're beautiful or when we're broken, when we're sorted or when we're suffering, God makes the first move. And what a beautiful thing it is when he does that. Kerry, I need Kerry's help today. I'd love you to come up here, Kerry, if that's okay. Kerry, come and stand here. This is my wife, Kerry. Before anybody worries about what I'm just about to do, this is my wife, okay? So this is what God does. You see, wherever we are, he comes and, oh, come on, we can have a little cup today. He comes and embraces you right where you are. I mean, this is amazing news, isn't it? That God runs towards you. He doesn't wait for you to move towards him. He comes and he embraces you and he longs to rescue you from the place that you're at. You can stay. No, stay there, please. I'll need you in a little bit. Don't sit down. Just stay standing there, okay? When Zacchaeus was up a tree, what did Jesus do? He stopped and he noticed him. When the blind man was at the side of the road, what did Jesus do? He went towards him because the guy couldn't see him. When the lame man was sat on his mat, what did Jesus do? He went towards him in order to help him. See, this is a God who meets you where you are. When the prodigal son was a long way from home and turned around. What did the father do? He went and embraced his smelly son who'd just come out of the pigsty, hadn't he? He hadn't washed, he hadn't dressed. He was a complete and utter mess. But God didn't wait for him to change his clothes. He just embraced him in the muck of his life. He didn't leave him there, but that's the starting point that happened to him. Now, I wanted to show you how trendy I am. Do you know who this is? This is Kanye West. Now, you've all heard about Kanye West, haven't you? He's a rapper. You don't know about, I don't mean a Christmas rapper. He's a rapper with an R. And this week he's issued a new album, and he's entitled it Jesus is King. I mean, he is a world famous rapper, okay? I know you may not know him, but there's generations that do know him. He is a superstar in the music world. And he's had a chaotic life. But this week he produced this album, which is called Jesus is King. And it's music that reflects his own experience of encountering who Jesus is. Now, I'm guessing he's not all sorted in his life. I'm guessing he's got a lot of problems still going on, despite his fame and his fortune and his recognition. But you see, God has met him where he was. And it's begun this incredible journey. If you got a computer, just Google Kanye West and you can find his story. It's most amazing. See, I'm down with it, with the kids, me, you see. I can't get up with it, but I am down with it because getting up is more of the problem. See, the prodigal son story is not about the turnaround of the son. Don't misread this parable Jesus is saying. This isn't about the son turning around. This is about the father who meets the son where he is. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us in this story. He rescues him. He meets him where he is. God sent Jesus to rescue us from our sin. The thing that we couldn't do anything about, God decided to do it. Charles Wesley, in that great hymn, And Can It Be, says, he emptied himself of all but love. He emptied himself. There's a lovely Greek word that goes with that Bob will be able to tell you later. But he emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. So he meets you where you are. But this is the good news, that he meets you where you are, but he takes you where you can be. He redeems you. So he doesn't leave you where you are. See, he can we hold hands now? Have I got this right in terms of our love language? I'm not sure. We did it so long ago, I can't remember. But he wants to take you where you can be. I mean, this is an amazing thing that this God meets us there, but then doesn't want us to stay there. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, just after Peter had denied knowing Jesus for the third time, Luke writes this, Luke 22, 61. He says this, the Lord Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. Just after it denied him for the third time. And I wonder, how did Jesus look at Peter in that moment? What do I know about Jesus that would help me to know how he looked at him? I think he looked with love. And I think it was a moment to assure Peter, you don't need to stay where you are in your denial. I'm not going to let you stay in that denial. I'm going to take you to where you can be, even from this lowest point in your life. I'm going to take you to a new place, to a place where you can be. See, Jesus couldn't leave Peter in his denial. He wouldn't leave any of us in that place apart from him, because he wants to redeem us. Redemption is available to anyone who messes up. Redemption is a release of the payment of ransom. That's what redemption is. And we're in this place and we can't do anything about it ourselves, but Jesus redeems us. He paid the price on the cross so that we didn't have to stay where we are, so he could take us to where we can be. See, we can be forgiven. Love takes you because God sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice to make up for the gap that was there. See, the Father greets the Son where he is, and then what does he do? He takes him home, doesn't he? He leads him home to a place where he can be. He redeems him. He rescues him. The Father takes all the dignity that he had and puts it down, and for the sake of bringing his Son home. Because that's the sort of love that God has for those of us who acknowledge him. See, the Father said, you're doing very well this morning, Kerry. We didn't practice this either, did we? We're doing very well. Oh, I've gone one too far. Sorry, can't do that. The Father said, I'm gonna bring you home. I want you to be where you can be. And you're my son again. You've got the status of a son again. I'm going to put a robe on you. I'm going to put a ring on you. I'm going to put shoes on you because I want people to know that you're my son again. And imagine in that culture, imagine the father walking through the streets with his son back home again. Imagine what the neighbors would have said, you know? This is the son who took your inheritance. This is the boy who's wasted all this money. This is the one who walked away from you. And now the father, very proudly, in front of all the neighbors, brings him home to take him where he can be. See, that's the sort of God that, wow, overwhelms me. Now, what do Caesar's Palace Fountain, 13 Pepsi Cola trucks, Snake River Canyon, and a 90-foot shark tank have in common? Well, this guy here, do you remember who that guy was? Evel Knievel, well done. Did any of you have this toy when you were a child in the 70s? You used to wind it up and then let Evel Knievel go, and within about 6 inches he just fell over. It was a rubbish toy, but he made a lot of money out of it. Now, Evel Knievel was a guy, was a daredevil stunt rider, do you remember, who would leap over vast spaces. But what those places, Caesar's Palace Fountain, 13 Pepsi Cola trucks, Snake River Canyon, and a 90-foot shark tank have in common is that he failed to make all those jumps. I mean, he made hundreds of jumps in his career, but he failed to bridge the gap in that particular moment. He couldn't do it. And we can't do it. We can't bridge the gap that between here and where God wants us to be. We can't do it on our own. We need to be taken. We need to be taken home, redeemed for the future that there is. But the sad thing is for some of us, sorry, Kelly, you're doing really well. The sad thing for some of us is that we want God to just come and stay where we are. Because we don't want him to change us. We're quite happy with the choices we've made, the life we're living. It's okay without, you know, it's okay. He can come and sit where we are. But he's not some lapdog. He's not there at our beck and call. He's not there to do our will. And yet some of us, we sit in that place where there's a habit, there's a pattern of sin, there's a lifestyle choice, and we're saying, God, I just want you to be where I am because it's much nicer here. We forget to know that there's somewhere better that the Father wants to take you to. You see, the problem is that some of us, we confuse his embrace with his endorsement. We confuse his unconditional love with his unconditional acceptance of our lifestyle and our choices. And he's not going to do that because he doesn't want you to stay where you are. Don't confuse his embrace, which is his first call, for his endorsement of how we live. Because that isn't love. Love takes us to where we can be. He sees a bigger picture. He sees a better future. He sees a greater life that can happen when we know his love. He redeems you. But be clear that he wants you to be the sort of person that he longs for you to be. The Bible's very clear. It says, get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. Ephesians 4, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to put on your new self. You see, there's got to be some sort of change happening here. And we've got to be the ones who who do what it is he's asked us to do as he meets us where we are. Let's go one more time, Kerry, for a little walk. Because the even better news is that he invites you to stay where he is. He wants you to stay here, this place, where he is. He wants you to be in his presence, to live according to his plan and purpose for your life. That's what he longs for you. He releases you to become everything that he longs for you to be. In John chapter 21, the resurrected Jesus meets the denying Peter. So this is after Peter's denied him, and then the resurrection, and then Peter sees Jesus on the beach, and I'm sure Peter's a little bit concerned about meeting Jesus again. You know, it's one of those conversations you don't want to have. You wish it wouldn't happen. But he meets him there, and in that moment, Jesus gives Peter his mission. And he says, Peter, from now on, I want you to go and love people now in the way that I've loved you. I don't want you to stay here. I don't want you to just keep on fishing. You've got a new life ahead of you. There's a future ahead of you that I've called you to. It's going to be an adventure. It may not be safe, but it's going to be great fun if we do this together. And so Jesus makes this call on Peter's life to now go and share this love with other people. See, Jesus invites him to stay where he is, to be walking at the pace that Jesus wants him to walk, to be doing what Jesus wants him to do, to respond to what the Spirit is prompting him to do for the rest of his life. I've met you where you are. I'm going to take you to where you can be. And now I'm going to invite you to stay step in step with my plans and purposes for your life. See, God's love enables us to be more than we think we can be. More than anything we could ever dream of. It gives us courage to do some things that we never thought we could do, to go on adventures we never thought we could go on, to serve in a way we never dreamed we could serve, to talk to someone that we never thought we could talk to about who Jesus is, because he's with us and wants us to be there. And he invites you to stay where he is, to keep in step with the Spirit and with the prompting of his love for you. Because if you know the end of the prodigal son story, you'll know what happened. He invited him to have a party. It was a celebration. This was good news. This wasn't the dower, oh, I've come home and now I've got to start working. And no, the father wants to throw a party because of the rescue that's gone on, because of the release that's happened. And we're invited to a party, a new beginning, because the father's in the house and he invites us to join him in that same place. Thank you, Kerry. No, sit down now. You've done a fantastic job this morning. Thank you. But what of the older brother in this story? What of the older brother? He thought his goodness deserved the father's love. But if you read in the back end of that story, just like the father went to see the younger son and met him where he was, Jesus says in this story, the father comes out of the party and he goes to the older son as well. And he says to him, I want to invite you in as well. I want you to be where I am. I don't want your goodness to get in the way of my love. But there's a sadness in that story, isn't there? Because the older son stays outside the party. He stays where he is as the father goes back to celebrate. I wonder where you are this morning. I wonder where you're staying this morning. Where your life is at this stage. For some of you, maybe, you're here this morning. And I just want to say to you, the father is coming towards you to meet you where you are. Maybe for you, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You could be in church all the time. You could be doing all sorts of things, but you never made that decision to follow Jesus, to ask him for forgiveness and freedom, to say sorry for the things that you've done wrong, and to receive his love. And I want to say to you today, you know, the Father meets you where you are right now. You may be caught up in some pattern of sin, something that's going wrong in your life and you don't think you can get out of it and you think it's almost too late. Well, the Father comes to meet you where you are today. It's not too late. It's never too late with the love of God. Some of you, you know that embrace. You know you've experienced that. Do you know what? But you've not moved any further from there. And the Father wants to grab hold of your hand today and he wants to take you to where you can be. And for some of you, maybe today there's a risk you need to take. There's an adventure you need to go on because you're loved. And because in that sense of his love, then there's new things ahead for you. And there's something that you're hearing God whisper to you, but you've ignored it for far too long. And today's the day to know that you're loved enough to take that step because you're not on your own. He's taking you with you. For others of us today, it's just to know that we're celebrating with the Father, that we are loved. And this is another day to say, thank you, God, that you love me with a love that I could never repay, but you pour it out into my life, and that I know that I am released to be the person that you long for me to be. Please don't stay over here, will you? Will you allow the Father to pour out his love into your heart today through the presence of his Spirit, and to know and feel the full extent of that love as given, as shown in Jesus? We're going to celebrate.